guys, you got Dan here from Pack Rim Distributors. You know what? We've talked about a number of things on the show, and we have talked about the ingredients of beer and gone into detail on the science about each one of it. Last time, I believe we spoke about the history of beer, and today I kind of want to talk about the retail landscape as it is right now in 2018 in North America, or more specifically within Canada. So, as you can see when walking into a liquor store, there is a ton of choice, and that is certainly driven by you guys, the consumers. You know, you have upwards of 300 different beers sometimes in a store, and it's interesting when you travel from west to east in Canada, because in the west, we do have a large single section. Our single section really consists of large format bottles. So you're looking at the 650ml bottles, 750ml bottles, and it's more of a sharing aspect. As you travel across Canada going east, that selection, A, gets bigger, and the SKU size goes down in size. So what you see is a lot of tall cans right now. In Ontario, it's all about the 500ml. Manitoba, it's all about the 473ml can. And what you do, it's a wonderful shopping experience, because what you do is you go and you grab an 8-pack holder, an empty 8-pack holder, and you walk around and pick 8 different beers to put in it. And it's all individually priced. And it's all very reasonable pricing as well. So it's not necessarily more expensive to shop like that. Another thing you're going to see a lot of, certainly out west, is mixer packs. And that's kind of just the breweries doing it for you. Most of the time it's about a 12-pack, a 24-pack, but you're starting to see as small as 6-packs. I mean, hell, I think Phillips just came out with I think it was Parallel 49 came out with a hop box, which just has 4 tall beers in it of their different hoppy beers. So it's been driven by the consumer, and it's a lot of choice. Okay, next we're going to look at convenience. The convenience factor is getting bigger. I find a lot, I'm going to kind of throw this in the convenience sector, is people want to shop in a nice store now. It's not about going into a store and just, you know, grabbing your 15-pack of Canadian and going out the door. People want to be in a nice shopping environment. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with craft and that consumer. So I'm going to lump in good-looking stores as well as the convenience. So next in the retail environment, let's talk about education. And education can come in a number of different ways. First, let's talk about seminars. And I want to talk about more retail seminars. And if there's any retail owners or anyone out there that's kind of listening to this, take advantage of your sales reps. These guys are full of knowledge. And you know, for some simple giving them some good shelf space, they'll come in and do a seminar for your customers and maybe a tasting as well. And your customers want to know. The more that they know about craft beer, the bigger chance that they're going to upgrade to a higher, more pricey beer, which eventually puts more money in your pocket. And this can even be pushed into courses. If you, as a craft beer liquor store, if you want to actually offer courses, and it can be off-site, and it's not necessarily somebody looking to get their sommelier license Cicerone license, and actually kind of using it for their advantage in the workplace, but people just want to know about it. People want to be able to talk about beer on a high level, right? It's a fun thing to talk about. I know I do. I'm talking to no one right now on radio. So talking about back-end education as well, and this is kind of more for the key account owner to actually know not only about the beer itself, but the back-end, how it works, know about supply chain, know about what it takes to actually, like, how much a bottle is compared to how much a can is worth. And that's something that you can get direct from the brewer and probably the brewer owner. And that's something they'd be more than willing to help you out with. So you know what? Part of the retail environment. Let's talk about the retail environment within the breweries themselves. These small craft breweries themselves. They all have, most of them have a tasting room and a retail room, and they should be run that way. So you know, take someone like Vancouver Brewery Tours and looking at the brewery tour. Once you have that person in there, not only on your menu should you have what kind of tastings do they have, but put right on your menu the price of that 650ml bottle or a single can, and try to get them, you know, get money out of their pockets when they're coming in the door and get money out of their pockets when they're going out, I like to say. So, and it gives them that wonderful experience. I know a lot of people, it's about giving them that experience. And if you do that, what they can do is they can pick up a bottle or a can and bring it home, and at a later date, when someone comes over and they go and drink it, they're going to bring up that experience and say, hey, I got this at the brewery and you know, chatted with the brewmaster and he told me this about it. People want to tell those stories. So, you know, that's certainly one way that you can go about it as well. Collaborations are something really big. There's a wonderful community in craft beer. And if you're able to make collaborations with your neighbor or hell, someone on the other side of the world, you can make a collaboration beer with. That's a great way to go about it. And it's a great way to kind of really size up that the community here. And collaborations can even be taken forward. I know recently Red Racer and Parallel 9 did a, I think it was called the Great White Wonder Adventure Pack, and this was kind of over Christmas, and it was an advent calendar, and they didn't actually make a collaboration beer themselves together, but what they did is they each added 12 beers to that pack to make a 24-pack. And that's in a whole nother way of kind of looking at a collaboration. Mixer packs. I know I kind of mentioned this before. They're certainly very popular out west. And you're starting to see them in all sizes, 6-packs, you know, 24-packs, 12-packs. And this is a great way to get the consumer to upgrade. If they're coming in there for a couple different 6-packs, well, you might be able to get them 12 and just kind of keep them in that one brewery with kind of 4 or 5 different beers in there. They can be a little labor intensive putting together, but certainly worth it as far as the sales runs here. And I know that most of the craft brewers would agree with me when saying that the majority of the retail sales in the West, certainly in BC, come from the mixer packs. Gift with purchase in the retail environment. You know, me coming from big beer, having worked with a couple of the big guys, nothing drives it like gift with purchase and LTOs, which is limited time offer as far as dropping the price. But a gift with purchase, you'd be amazed at your numbers if you add a glass in it or add a hat to that purchase and how much sales that really does drive. So as you know, as far as a retail environment, you're always going to be seeing that gift with purchase, and those are always going to be the number one displays. Your number one, two, three display won't be necessarily price decrease, but it'll all be about a gift with purchase, and that drives people into the store as well. So, talking about kind of cans versus bottles, if you have walked into a store lately, you certainly have seen a shift from bottles to cans in the craft beer world, and that's simply because the consumer has been educated in kind of what I've talked about before. It is just a better way to move beer. Number one, it's cheaper to get it into a can. Number two, it is way better for the beer. Three things are terrible for beer: time, light, and oxygen. Can't do much about time as far as what vessel it in. That's not a big thing. But as far as light, you have zero light hitting the beer, so that's going to help not oxidize it quicker, and zero oxygen as well. With a bottle, there always can be some seepage coming in through that bottle top, no matter what kind of top you have. And so it's just always better to have it in cans. And we're starting to see that, and certainly starting to see that in BC. A couple other things I want to chat about. First, cold versus warm. With craft, the popularity of craft beer right now, it is always better to keep that beer in a cold environment at about, you want to have it at about +2 to +5. That's going to make sure your beer is coming out fresher. Because this beer is not pasteurized, you're starting to see huge changes. First, most notably in the BCLDB, they never had cold sections before. So they changed the game on all their cold beer and wine stores as well. And they said to those guys, sorry, we're doing cold now as well. And that's kind of part of the reason was craft beer is really starting to take over a little more. It's just a better way to hold the beer, and the beer's going to taste fresher. Next is wine versus beer. And this is kind of interesting. I'll spend a little time on this. A lot of people don't know this, but think about it when you walk into a government liquor store. What is the first thing that you see? You see wine, and then you see spirits, and tucked way at the back of the store is beer. And think about a grocery store in that sense. Why is milk and cheese and these things way at the back of the store? Because they know you're going to buy it, and they don't make that much money off it. They're going to put the things in front of you that they're going to make more money off of. And this is true of wine versus beer. So you think, well, why is that? It's about the same price point. The thing is with the government, the majority of the time they're making their money off taxes in the government liquor store. It's not so much the profit margin. It's changed recently, but that they still make money off their taxes. And wine and beer is taxed differently. A lifetime ago, about 30, 40 years ago, the big brewery guys went to the government and they lobbied. This is back in the day when beer and wine weren't fighting against each other and beer was invincible. And they went to the government. They lobbied it. So beer makes more profit. And the government makes less tax off of beer. And so that's why you see wine up front. Is in fact, wine is at a higher tax rate. And the government makes more taxes off you buying $10 of wine compared to $10 of beer. And that's why beer is at the back of the store. So those guys really just kind of shot themselves in the foot thinking they were invincible. Well, guys, that's about it for the retail portion of this. You know, hopefully next week we can do a on-premise side of this. But I want to thank you for tuning in to Packroom Distributors, something we'd like to talk about. Also, tune in to our YouTube channel, which is Canadian Craft Beer Collective. Check it out. We've got some awesome interviews that we do with some local brewers around town. So check it out. Appreciate you guys tuning in.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.